on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at the Pulse 2 Studios. In the studio, no, there's no Aaron, no, there's no Elliot, but we do have the Reggae Warrior himself. It is Ross Peltier, and next to him, we do have the Game Caller himself, Michael Gledhill. Say hey, boys.
Yep. Good evening.
All right, we've got an interesting evening this evening. We're going to talk rugby league, all the hottest talking points. This is an interactive show, so if you've got anything to share, if you're on social media, just spit it in. We'll absorb it. We'll talk about it. But keep it family friendly because this is a family show. And also, if you type it, I will read it. And then I'll have to apologize, and we've not got that long to go in the season, and we're nearly there, so don't get us thrown off the air before the season finishes. So let's get straight into it, boys. What have you been doing with yourself now that the Bulls stopped playing?
It's been a stay-at-home dad while all the lads were in Magaluf, really.
So all the boys flew out to Magaluf on what, Monday?
Yeah, Monday, yeah.
Did you shed a tear?
Yeah.
Just a single tear rolling.
Yeah, they
down.
Had all of the group, obviously I was part of it originally. I had to leave that group because I didn't want to see anything. I didn't want to stare. I've been at home just depressed.
You know what, if I was them, and if I know, I think Elliot's listening, I said, Elliot, just keep adding Ross to groups. Just keep adding him and then put photos in.
Yeah, so I had a chilled week, really. I've not done much. I'd have a rest.
So how long have you got off?
I don't even know. I think it'll be till November time, but obviously I've got the England Knights game in October, so I'll give myself last week, but this week off, and then start training again next week, really. So, yeah.
Well, what's the date of the England Knights game?
20th of October.
20th of October. Yeah. Where has it been played?
Headingley.
Headingley.
Yeah, so getting back in good shape for that now.
Oh, Wagga Taurus has joined us. Hey, Wagga, hope you're going well, son. Love you. With that in mind, don't you think you should be training, keep the body ticking over? You know, let's be honest. Once you slow down, it's hard to get that momentum
I've been riding my bike still, you know, driving bike ride, keep it ticking. But now I'm starting back training now, so get back on it, yeah.
Taking your baby down to the local playground and just having him roll around on his three-wheeler ain't the same thing as training, though, for rugby, is it?
Nah. So I'm going to get back on it now, so yeah, start again.
Keep yourself busy and out of mischief. So how's daddy daycare been going
it's
anyway?
It's not bad, you know.
It's good, day. It's good to be able to spend some time.
Yeah, take it easy, yeah.
So that's one of the bad things, though, about being a professional athlete. Like, you play rugby during the best weather.
Yeah.
Your time off is like when the weather turns rubbish.
When it's terrible, yeah. It's terrible weather, but it's been all right lately, so... It's all good.
Sun always shines in the Peltier household,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, in Cluckie, and it's always sunny, so yeah, man.
And Michael, come on, mate, fill us in on you've been up to. Obviously, you've not been calling the games, but you've been getting, like, what, 10p, 20p train rides all over the northwest, the northeast, all over the north.
Well,
full stop.
Well, yeah, for people that are wanting to know, unfortunately, there's no more left.
Oh.
And at the end of August, Northern, because they're introducing loads of new trains across the network.
We just need to say that we like all other trains. We like East Coast and all of those as well. Just keep making sure there's a balance in there, okay?
They basically released some 10p fares.
Company, one of those top train companies, they kind of suggest that they started in the north. What did they do?
They released 10p train tickets.
10p train tickets.
So you can go Blackpool, Southport, Morecambe, Carlisle, Newcastle, Saltburn. I was in Saltburn yesterday. On Monday, I was in Lincoln. Tomorrow, I'm going nowhere. Sunday, I'm off to Bridlington. Next week, I'm in Southport, Liverpool.
Have you got a job like reviewing all these towns or something?
I do a bit
as a journalist, you go in and you say, well,
Robbie,
you know what?
If
you go down Main Street, turn right on the second ice cream shop there is absolutely brilliant. The fish and chips in Saltburn. Saltburn. What was it called?
Saltburn.
Saltburn.
Saltburn on Sea. It's about 20 minutes towards the coast away from Middlesbrough. A great little, North Yorkshire town.
Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Northeast.
So it's
okay.
It's the northeast, but you know, if you've got to endure some long, you know, lengthy train journeys. So you know, it's 3 hours there, 3 hours back.
What do you do? What do you do in your meantime? What do you do between point A and point B? Don't tell me to sit and look at Instagram and stuff
that. I'm sat there looking out of the window and just enjoying the scenery. I'm a natural traveller, a rambler.
Oh, right.
I can't stay in Bradford. I'm not one of these people who can stay at home and play.
You're proud. You know where you come from. You're proud of Bradford. You know where you come from, but you just don't want to stay there.
And when I go there, Robbie, you know,
Kiwi.
Like Lincoln.
Live somewhere else.
You go up, you walk up the city towards the cathedral, have a look around, some, you know, great architecture there. I've got a lot of respect for the medieval monks and the architects who built that great cathedral, and you know, it's just
wealth
about
of
being
knowledge.
out there.
Wealth of knowledge. All right, well, let's talk rugby league. Weekend it was, been and gone. So the first round of we had the elimination qualifiers, the elimination finals, well, qualifiers, what was it called? The elimination round.
Elimination final, it's called.
And the qualifying finals.
Yeah.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
God, I had this all down. That was at the elimination final and the qualifying final for the championship. And we had the last round, which was a really exciting round. It really was for the Super League. For the wrong reasons, yes, we were excited about the four teams sitting on 20 points. London and Wakefield, both of them were those teams. And everyone had their eyes on Wakefield. Where were you guys? I was at the Leeds Rhinos match, actually, watching them dismantle Warrington. Warrington were poor.
Yeah.
They were poor. Leeds were good. They weren't great, but Warrington were really poor.
Mm.
I mean, they lost. Maybe I'm doing Leeds an injustice there. They did. I mean, they turned up. It was a bit of an emotional night. Jamie Jones-Buchanan, his final game, and Carl Ablett, their final game. So they were saying goodbye to those two players who were both retiring. There was a lot of communication going out also because, obviously, Danny Maggs was retiring. And, I mean, I don't care what you say. People still think of him as a Leeds Rhinos player. So it was, I guess, the same thing when I moved on from the Bulls to the different clubs. People still thought the same thing. But an emotional night for them. And they turned up. Warrington didn't. You would think Warrington would have had a lot to play for in regards to positioning for this weekend. But they didn't. And they were disappointed with themselves.
Mm. Yeah, I think that was a disappointing result for Warrington. But like myself, yeah, watching the Wakefield game, really, and eyes on and what were going on at the bottom. You know, London, they've had a great season, and, you know, it's sad to see them go. But on the balance of things, I think, you know, yeah, it was their time ago.
Well,
know,
I'm going to come back to that. Mick, how did you see that game unfold?
Well, I was actually at Huddersfield v Catalans on Friday night, and, you know, thought Huddersfield played.
They went all the way to the wire, didn't
they? Yeah, no, Huddersfield, you know, they couldn't rely on Wakefield, so they knew they had to win, and they got the win. I know Catalans and McNamara, very disappointed in the press conference. You know, they're going to address some concerns regarding their form for next season. You know,
oh, they've been atrocious this year.
They're very Jekyll and Hyde, similar to all FC, the Catalan Dragons.
Worse.
You know,
worse.
On the day, they're beating St. Helens at the Stade Gilbert Brutus. They're going away to Wigan and winning, but then they're losing the games that they should win. You know, no real consistency. And I think you'd have to say it's been a very disappointing season for the Catalan Dragons and Steve McNamara. But I watched the game back, and, you know, Danny Ward, Jamie Langley, what they've done at the London Broncos this season is absolutely fantastic. And I think you saw that sort of never-say-die attitude right up until the final hooter, because they're 18-0 down and there's 5 minutes to go, and then all of a sudden two quick-fire tries, and, you know, you still saw that fight, and, you know, they're going to, you know, look, hopefully rebuild in the championship
season.
This is where
I'm going to bring Ross back in. The team has been dismantled. Everything that was great about them has actually gone off and stayed in the Super League with different clubs.
Yeah.
How we talk? Yes. Okay. So Danny Ward has done a great job, but he's had the nucleus of that squad together for a number of years that he was able to take from the Championship, promote into the Super League, and walk hand in hand with them. And, you know, against all odds, they brought the best out of each other. They complemented one another. They created synergy, and they come away with wins and outperformed, really, everyone's expectations. And they did it with such style and grace, yeah? But now what he's got to do is go back to 0-1. So, Ross, from your point of view, does that make it a lot more attractive to play against London?
I think out of the teams who were going to come down, I think, you know, with the players that were going, I think London for us makes it more interesting, you know, because if Awakey came down and retained all their squad, you know, the Fafitas and all like that, on long contracts, you know, obviously they would have probably dominated Championship, really, and had a few blowouts, really. But now London have come down, you know, they've lost, you know, Alex Walker's going. But they've also got brought in, like, Toyo Godo, Corey Ashton have come in. So, you know, they have still got good players there, but... Yeah, I think it just makes it more competitive, really, around the top. I think that top five is going to be even more competitive. You know, we've had Toronto run away with it, but I think if they are allowed to go up, then it'll be a lot closer, I think.
Well, maybe you might know the answer to this, Mick. What about a balloon payment for them, a parachute payment? Will they get it? I mean, Widnes were supposed to get a parachute payment. Because they went into administration, that means that they were no longer valid. So that left them... as we saw, 12 points underneath the championship and struggling. Have you caught wind that there's conversations going on about a parachute payment? Because that would definitely make a big difference. But as I understand it, and when I was in situ, the parachute payments was a conversation that was a year-by-year thing. It wasn't something that was solidified when the new system came into play and said there'll be guaranteed X amount of pounds, £600,000, I think, at the end of the season for the team that goes down, because no one actually thought that any teams were going to go down, and actually it did happen a couple of times and has happened again. So have you heard when or caught wind that there's any parachute payments?
Yeah, London are going to get a parachute payment. It is going to be cut. They're going to lose about £400,000, though, and they're going to get about £500,000. So it's like with Widnes and Hull KR, when they got relegated after that £1 million game with Salford a couple of years back, they were getting around £850,000, £875,000. London are going to get £500,000. I guess the fortune...
still makes a big difference.
It does.
It's still going to make... In the championship, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. So they're going to operate on £500,000. And I guess you can say London are lucky in that they've got David Hughes, a man who has put over £20 million into... rugby league in the capital, so I don't think, Robbie, they're going to suffer the brunt of losing £400,000, albeit David, you know, might be a little bit annoyed.
All right. Okay. So look for the checkbook to start coming out. I'm guessing signings are going to be announced. All right. Loads to talk about in rugby league. It's a very, very busy playoff schedule coming up over the next few weeks.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the Pulse 2 studios with Mick Ledhill and Ross Peltier, the reggae warrior and the game caller, respectively. Guys, look, elephant in the room, as always. What's going on at the Bulls? We got a approach that you're starting to hear. We were talking about it earlier, talking about London will start signing up players. The Bulls still in special measures. Ross, I guess you've been told what everyone else has been told.
Yeah, I don't know nothing.
Your job is basically just to keep yourself fit, keep yourself ticking over.
Yeah, I'm a free agent right now. I ain't got nowhere. So.
No, actually, you're contracted to the end of the year, mate.
Until November, actually.
You're still a Bulls player till the 1st of November, Ross.
Yeah. Don't you forget that either. that's a bit of a weird one, because I remember some of the clubs... during my time, they try to enforce that, you know, sticking about and doing PR work. It's you just can't. We've announced him moving somewhere else. Not me, actually. It didn't happen to me, but it did happen to other players. And they were just playing silly buggers.
Yeah.
You know, they were just saying, let's not. Actually, is that word a swear word? If you're offended by the B word I just said, I apologise. it wasn't meant in that context. So, throwing myself there. So I thought, I used to think it was a bit, you know, some real, the game within the game, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just nonsense.
There's a lot of that people don't know, like, that goes on, like, the game within the game, like.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And what it is, I mean, a lot of the time, it's owners' egos. That's the biggest thing I've seen is just like, you know, players, athletes have egos. You've got to have an ego. You've got to have an ego, go out on the field and be big breast and just have that self-confidence and you believe that, you know, that you can get through it and you can do this and you've got to have that ego to say that you are the man. But I'm telling you now, those egos aren't nearly as big as the owner's ego. These things are ginormous.
Yeah, but it's like, if you've seen the Ryan Hampshire thing this week where he's basically told Wakefield he believes he's worth more than they're offering him. And he's come out and said it publicly. And everyone's like,
yeah. Oh, no. So, Ryan Hampshire will be leaving Wakefield. Well, it's not funny, but anyway. So, Bark Sparkle has just joined the conversation. So relieved the Giants are still in the Super League. They have a great academy set up. They do. Rich 550210 is answering. Brian Bark Sparkle, remember a few seasons ago, Giants used to be the team to beat. So a couple of Giants fans there. Yeah, look, I'm happy the Giants are still in. One of my favourite Super League teams. They've underperformed this year. They really have. They know that. But you got to remember, if you guys are Giants fans, that they had an atrocious run of injuries at the beginning of this season. Yeah. Atrocious. To all their key personnel that they had brought over to sort of take the team onto their next level. And thinking that hopefully a good preseason underneath their belts will help them get back to being a team that we like to enjoy, watch, play, and can deliver on the field as well. Mm. What was your assessment, though, of the game on Friday night with the Giants and Catalan? How did the Giants play? Did both teams play well, or were both teams underperforming back into the season, both teams looking tired? Because, like I said before, I didn't think that the Leeds were amazing. I thought they played well, but Warrington really, really underperformed. The last time I watched Warrington play, I was at the Challenge Cup final, and I watched how restricted, how disciplined they were in that game, and how they just stuck to the guns. And it was a different team I watched on Friday. They looked tired. Leeds looked tired. I'm guessing a lot of the teams look tired at the moment.
Yeah, Catalans, as it transpired after the game, they were all booked to go on their holiday on the Saturday, so they were playing very tired. It was a fractious game, Robbie. You know, typical end of season fare, penalties, errors, but you know what Huddersfield showed in bucket loads was a lot of spirit, a lot of determination, and you know, it wasn't the biggest crowd, but every Huddersfield fan inside the John Smith Stadium, you know, they supported the team, they raised the roof, and you know, fair play to Huddersfield. You know, they made sure that they got the win. That meant they weren't relying on the result taking place between Wakefield and London. And, you know, fans watching that performance, that's all they want. They want 100 to see 110%, you know, given by the players. And I know people like Alex Meller are leaving Huddersfield to join Leeds next season. So there was a few players that were playing the last game. So, they played with a bit of punch. It wasn't a 10 out of 10 performance, far from it. But, you know, it was a performance, you know, to end the season on at least a little bit of a high, as you say. It has been a very disappointing season for Huddersfield.
So just talking about Alex Meller going onto the Leeds Rhinos, we've got a question from Skills Gamer. Guys, how do you think Rhinos will do next season? Can they stay in the Super League? I reckon they can stay in the Super League, definitely. But, Ross, give us your thoughts on how you think Leeds Rhinos are going to go. And I just want to throw in there that there's been a lot of chatter about Luke Gale joining them also. And that chatter still hasn't finished.
Yeah, I mean, well, if he goes in, that'll strengthen them, I think. You know, they had a poor start to the year. They had a poor early bit of the season. And I think with the signings they've made, Rob Louis, you know, Reece Martin, players like that coming in, you know, they've developed and they've started putting in some good performances. You know, they're not the same Leeds that we saw at the start of this year. I think Richard Ayrguy's done a good job at turning it around there, and you know, I think they're just going to get stronger coming into next season, really, and they'll be more, you know, the young boys will be more settled. Yeah, I think they've got a good squad on them, really.
Well, Skills Gamer did go on to ask, was appointing Richard Ayrguy a good choice for the Rhinos?
I think it was. You know, he'd been around the club and he were assistant anyway, so you know, it was a bit of continuity. I think it's not someone completely new coming in and changing everything, and you know, players thinking, oh, I've got to, you know, get in with a new manager. I think, you know, him taking over the reins, I think it was just a smooth transition, really. And yeah, I think the signings have made, you know, have really, really helped them. Yeah.
But on that note, Mick, Leeds Rhinos have only offered Richard Ayrguy a 1-year deal.
Yeah, it says.
So, okay, we're backing you, but we're not really backing you.
Yeah.
You know, we're backing you. It's got to be a 3-year deal, 2-year deal at least to sort of run the way. But it's sort of like, I mean, it's smart. Don't get me wrong. Look, this is a smart bit of business by Kevin Sinfield. It is smart. You say, okay, well, you got to earn your money, man. Is yeah. that not?
Well, there's coaches sign a 3-4-year deal and they're gone in 6 months, so it's one of them things, isn't it? I don't think contracts.
Look at what happened with David Ferner. You don't want another situation where you're giving someone a 2-3-year deal and, you know, things don't work out. And
well, you know the payout's going to be extensive, isn't it?
But just on the the Luke Gale to Leeds room.
Oh, come on. Give us some inside information.
All right, if you want the inside information, it's a done deal and it will happen.
Oh, you heard it here first.
RHP show exclusive.
There you go. There you go. Over. And you know what?
You got to understand, none of us are in a position of authority to validate that, but you have heard it here first by the game.
See that? You won't be getting these announcements by Aaron Bauer. He won't be getting the scoops like this. This is how we've got him. He's got
seriously, Luke Gale will be at Leeds next year. That is my big, bold Pulse 2 prediction. You know, yes, money has changed hands, and I think is exactly what Leeds need at this moment in time. You've got young Callum McClelland, you know, as we saw earlier on in the season for Leeds. It was a little bit like a lost lamb at times, but, you know, what we saw in that Featherstone League game, he is moulding into a great player and he's bouncing off Chisholm at Featherstone. And I think, you know, he's only just turned 20 as Callum McClelland, and, you know, I think he's certainly a working project. And I think, you know, under Luke Gale at the Leeds Rhinos, he's certainly going to, you know, he's going to learn his trade.
I think, the thing with Gale, you've just a fit Luke Gale is unstoppable, you know. But, you know, it's keeping him healthy, really. You know, he's had such a long time out. You know, whether the body's ready when he comes back.
Yeah, look, a lot of people talk about the injuries. Actually, the way Luke plays isn't a dynamic style of rugby.
Yeah.
He plays a slower game. He'll go at the line. Mm. He's got that, you know, that little halfback waddle, big backside waddle.
Have you seen the size of him now, though? He's massive, man.
He's been doing nothing but beach weights.
Oh, he's massive now, so.
But, you know, the biggest thing why I think that this would be a real positive for Luke Gale for Leeds Rhinos is his kicking game.
Mm.
Luke Gale probably is in the top 5 kickers on the planet, and that is huge. I think people underestimate the importance of having a good kicking game, and they've really struggled this year to get that part of their game in order. And it's so important because you can have a bad carrying set, but you got a kicker that can turn up the team around, I think, and then keep turning them around and keep turning around and pinpoint and then pick up some 40-20s, that can be absolutely devastating for a defending team. And that's what Luke Gale has. He's got a cannon of a boot, pinpoint accuracy, and equally on top of that, he can also take the line on and do all of that stuff, you know? If that is true, if what Mick has shared with us today does come to pass, you did hear it here first, and... I think
a few people are already reporting it, but as Ross says, quite a lot of people, they sit on the fence on things because they don't like ruining their reputation. But my reputation at the minute is probably halfway, so I've got not to lose, Robin. The only way is up for me.
You could get some money. Do like
only if you get it right, though. Only if you get your predictions right. Okay, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to hear more from you. You guys have been sharing loads on the social media. So if we haven't talked about you yet, we'll talk about you next. So stick with us. Right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Live on 12:78 and 15:30 AM. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live here at Pulse 2 Studios. In the studio with me, we have the game caller Mick Leadhill and the reggae warrior Ross Peltier alongside me. A couple of your questions. There was one from Stephen, 90210. Stephen was with the show last week. He wants to talk about Salford and Wigan, the game coming up. We'll get to that in the final segment because we'll look ahead to the games coming up, Stephen, so stay with us. Rich, 4,400. Who chooses your guys' ad tags? 544. I hope that number is
four numbers.
It's either his phone number, his PIN code number for his credit card. Is that how you do it? Always looking at website. Anyway, Rich wants to know why Hull FC have been so inconsistent this season. And is it time for Lee Radford to go? No. No, he's my mate. That's it. I'm not talking about his talent as a coach or anything. He's just my mate. He's got to stay. Is that a fair assessment?
It's one of them. Like, they've got the talent to put in amazing performances, and then 1 week it's there, 1 week it's not. Sometimes in sport, it's like you can never, you can't put your finger on it. I think that we've had that this season. You know, we've had some amazing performances, like against Toulouse, and then, you know, we've turned up and then we've drawn with Swinton when in a game we should have really won, and you can't explain it. You know, it's a mindset thing, maybe it's a getting a rhythm thing, but I don't think it's a coach's fault really. I think, you know, when certain people are performing inconsistently and stuff, it's
he's the same coach that won the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Coaches get the hard end of the bargain. You know,
they
when, do. You know, players.
They do. Who players would want to be a coach?
Well, like look at the old Leeds situation. These Leeds players have turned it around and started performing. Now the coach got sacked, and it's like, you know, all the players remain, and it's a difficult one. I feel sorry for certain coaches at times.
I do. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to become a coach, because I just thought it's so inconsistent. Yeah. You know, you get a run of injuries, and I was in the, you know, that Bulls squad that had that legacy, and we got a run of injuries in 98, and we come fifth. And everyone was calling for Matthew Elliott's head, and he was the same coach that the 20 unbeaten games. What we had was just a bad run of injuries and a couple of bad apples in the bunch. And I'm not going to say who they are. You know who you are. Hang your head in shame. But what I'm saying is, that was one of the things that really turned me off from wanting to be a coach. I reckon players become coaches just not because they want and they're passionate about it, because they don't know how to do anything else. So get your coaching badges, son. What do you know how to do? Sales, everything, eh? You're a commercial man, aren't you?
I do a bit of everything, you know what I mean? I've lived a long life around rugby league as well.
That's it. Now, before we go any further, in this segment of the show, we used to basically just give over to the boys to do a 30-second run, and we haven't had the opportunity to do that for a while. So, but Mick is biting at the bit. He wants to have his 15, well, it's 30 seconds of fame, actually. So, Mick, I'm going to count down myself. 3, 2, 1, go for it. You got 30 seconds. I'm timing you.
Well, my 30-second rant is aimed at the Super League clubs. How on earth can you be moving goalposts this late into the season where at this moment in time, both Toronto and Toulouse do not know if they win the Championship Grand Final, whether or not they will be accepted into Super League next season? It is an absolute disgrace. It makes a mockery of the sport. You know, why wasn't this decided at the start of the season? Why didn't Robert Elston and the Super League chairman do their due diligence, Robert, at the start? Why are they only doing it now? It is disfrustrating. And, you know, Robert Elston's talking about we want to bring, you know, commercial sponsorship into a sport. Well, decisions like this just make it look rudderless and clueless. There, that's my rant. And okay. I think quite a lot of people will probably agree with me.
I think there's a lot of us in the rugby league world that aren't as well connected as yourself that are just standing there scratching our heads at the moment. Because really, what you're saying is what we're all thinking. It was well known in 2018 that if Toronto won the championship, they were going to be promoted into the Super League.
Correct.
We all knew that. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed. Well, actually, as we understand it, nothing's changed. A lot can happen in a year. A lot can happen in a year. What was it? Brian Noble was saying they're confident. They're confident that they pass all due restrictions. And this is an interesting thing, though. You know, a lot of the journalists have stated that, Robert Elston stated, that they will not get that portion of the central distribution
funding. That's correct, yes.
Was that the same in 2018?
Yeah, no, because
it wasn't, was it?
No, yeah. Basically,
if they got promoted into the Super League this year, were they having to forego their...
Yes, that's correct,
funding?
Robbie, they would have had to do. But what a lot of people may not realise is that if Toronto get into Super League, there is a very large commercial TV deal ready to be activated by a Canadian broadcaster, and Toronto will get that money. The problem where the fallout stems from now is that commercial deal value to Toronto is worth more than the central funding distribution, and the Super League clubs, they want a slice of that. And at the same time, as people already know, you know, Robert Elston is paid £440,000 a year by the Super League clubs. If Toronto become a Super League club, I'm led to believe, don't quote me on this, Toronto Toronto would not pay, the £40,000 to Robert Elston. So clearly everything is not rosy in the background, which is frustrating because, you know, Toronto, look what they'll add to the Super League. You know, they'll be great to the competition. Yeah. Look at the crowds they get now in the Championship. Yeah. There was over 8,000 there the other week against the Leeds Centurions. There was 9,000 for their first home game of the season against Swinton. 8,500 when we went over in May.
The Championship has gone from strength to strength, but I'm not convinced with the quality of the Super League, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm not, Robbie. I'll be brutally honest. You know, you go back to when you were playing for the Bradford Bulls. There were Bradford Leeds. There were 20,000 at Oddsall, 20,000 at Headingley. That's not there anymore. Yeah, it's not there with the Wigan Saints derbies anymore.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, actually, it was this year when they decided not to televise it.
Yes.
Then everyone had to go to the game. There was actually may have been a blessing in, you know, in disguise, wasn't it, for Saints. It was at St. Helens when they had their sold out, wasn't it?
I feel the athleticism, the product, the speed, the strength of players has developed, and the game's faster and quicker. And you know, as exciting as it's ever been, I think it's the off field where we're falling short. And I think things like this, we're either for expansion or we're against it. You know, Toronto are a driving force to developing the game. You know, they're evolving and opening everything to a new market, and you know, I've played over there, and I've got to say it was a very good experience. And I think anyone who's doubtful of what they could bring and never been over there should hold their opinion until they actually visit. Like my mum, she obviously watches me at rugby league all over. She went all day to Canada. She went to a Toronto game and she was like saying it was the best game she's ever been to in her life. She loved it. Awesome. You know, they're doing a lot of good for the game, and I think they will add a lot to Super League. I think to lose as well, that's a very good away day. They bring a lot. We're either for expansion or we're against it. We all knew that Toronto and Toulouse would be in the mix to go up. So why wait till now to see
that? That's my frustration.
I think there's a lot of information that's going on behind the doors with what I call the ring of power. Things that probably does make a lot of sense is just not being shared because it's probably in that stage of really delicate negotiations. Mm. And I think we just need to probably, because I've been at that top table. I've seen how it goes. We probably just as supporters of the game, we probably just have to be a little bit more patient as to see how it's all going to get worked out. And then we'll get explained in the long run. Well, that's me being the eternal optimist. We had this from Bark Sparkle. Oh, no, sorry, it was Barrett Chris. Any news on the Bulls while we're still in special measures? You've probably just come to the party a little bit late, Chris, but we kind of discussed that earlier. Basically, in special measures until the board at the Bulls can prove they're financially stable enough to go forward. It's all based on money and proof of income, basically. As I understand it, that's in hand, and that's not a thing that's done overnight. You can't just show your bank balance and say, yeah, take that. There's got to be due diligence and proof, and people have to put their head down and actually get through all the work. But saying all that, talking about Toronto, talking about a qualification to get into the Super League, 2020 comes along, Bradford Bulls absolutely kills it all season long, go through. You can't take Super League team to Dewsbury.
Well, that's probably for another show.
The only option would be Valakane, surely. We'll have to go back.
All right, okay. Well, then maybe that is.
Get me back to Oddsall. That's my mantra. Get me back to Oddsall. Yeah.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the Pulse 2 studios for the final segment. In the studio with me is Ross Peltier, the reggae warrior, Mr. Jamaican Rugby League himself. And next to him is none other than the game caller, Michael Gliddle. Look, we've a few of you guys' comments, so I thought I'd just read them out. Bark Sparkle. Great name. Get the academy lads into local schools to promote the game. Give away free passes to under-16s. Tried and tested method. Does work. Luke Gale to Leeds. That's from Al Horners. Yes, that's what we were talking about before. Mick Little, the game caller himself, he announced it as true as...
But he's not an official.
He doesn't work for Leeds. Doesn't work. He's not a PA for Luke, but... He's had it on good authority.
Yes.
So just leave it at that. Jewel Ridge, you think it should work both ways so Championship players get a shout at Super League? I don't think Championship clubs would want that, you know, losing their talent, go to slide up. And Sandy, so Doming 01. She's a Toronto fan, lives in Leeds. She thinks it's crazy also, so she agrees with you, Mick, that Toronto decision being left to the finals and the playoff, making the sport a laughing stock around the world. And the growth of grassroots rugby league has been amazing this year. Going to Super League will help with the exposure. Look, she's saying that it's been amazing in Toronto from a grassroots point of view. Sandy, what we're thinking is that something is actually going on at the moment, and there's conversations going on because Toronto aren't coming out and so aggressively defending their position. So that generally suggests that there's high-level conversations that are being discussed at this point in time, and all of us, it's way beyond our pay grades. So let's be a little bit patient with this. I think it'll probably unfold over the next couple of weeks, because from a supporter point of view, we'll just keep turning up the pressure. We will, won't we? Yeah. And Sandy just went in to finish off with saying you got a great hat on. Is that a Toronto one?
Yeah, Blue Jays. I'm a baseball fan. I like Blue Jays.
I played baseball growing up.
It's a good sport, man.
I made the New Zealand team as well.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I used to be a catcher, and then I ended up wrecking my knees going up and down. So I couldn't play rugby one year.
Because I
got water on the knees, and so I had to stop being a catcher, ended up a second baseman.
Yeah, catcher, that's terrible on your knees.
But what it did, though, because I was always watching balls come down at me, I became a good batter. Yeah. My batting, because I could always read the pitch. Anyway.
That's for another shot.
That's a different sport.
Yeah.
So we've got some massive games coming up this weekend, some really exciting games. I don't think they get much better than this elimination final with Warrington, this year's 2019 Challenge Cup winners against Castleford Tigers. Castleford turned the corner. They're playing some good rugby. Truman's playing out of his skin at the moment.
Yeah, he's going well, man.
Warrington, lacklustre performance against Leeds last week. They're going to have to turn it up, but we've seen what they can do when the pressure's on. How do you see this game going, gentlemen?
I can see Warrington snatching it, but I can see it being very tight. I can see it being a tight game.
It's at Warrington?
Yeah, there's not going to be many points in it. I reckon Warrington by two or four at most.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close. I'll be absolutely shocked if that's a blowout. I think Castleford, I think they've ever so slightly edging the momentum going into tomorrow night's game. And I think, you know what, I think Castleford are gonna shock Warrington. I think Warrington will bow out of the playoff race tomorrow evening. And you know what, they'll have had a good season. They'll have won the Challenge Cup, but there will be questions asked of Steve Price.
I think that loss against Leeds could have been the best thing that happens to him. You know, you know about that, Robbie. You know, when you had a poor performance and you want to right some wrongs and it's playoff time and you've ended your season on that terrible run. So I think Warrington, you'll see a big response from him, I feel.
I'm with Mick. Yeah, I'm with Mick. Oof. I think they look tired.
They do.
They look exhausted. And you know, I have been in those teams, but it took us a while to learn how to, one, enjoy the success of a Challenge Cup win and get back on the horse really quickly afterwards. I think it's going to be much more beneficial in 2020 when they move the Challenge Cup to July for the Challenge Cup winning team, or the two teams. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're moving it to the 18th of July, I think. So that's a long way forward. That means that it'll allow the two teams playing in that final to weather themselves, get back into the rhythm of our weekend. And I've seen it too often in the Challenge Cup where the winner of that competition have just lost the energy, battle. So I think for me, Castleford are a little bit fresher. They seem a little bit fresher. Warrington, they're going to have to really dig deep to pull this one out. But they do have the advantage of being at home. And that's why it was so important to get those points last weekend. Okay, moving forward to the Friday night. This is a question that was asked a little bit earlier. Wigan Warriors at home to Salford Reds.
Yeah, we're gonna inform now. I think we can. Do you know what it is? You can't write Salford off, because Salford have been amazing this year. But I feel Wigan, you know, when it's playoffs, it's Wigan. They know what to do. They know how to get the job done. And I can see Wigan getting to a grand final this year, to be honest. I can see, yeah.
I'm going to go against Ross again. I fancy the Jackson Hastings factor, and I think Salford, what they've done this season, is very close. And unfortunately, if London hadn't had that, fight to stay in the Super League and the 20 points and the 10 wins. I think Salford probably would have been the club of the season. But you know what? I'm going to predict another shock. And I think Jackson Hastings, I know he's off to Wigan next year, but you know, Wigan fans, if Salford do beat you, enjoy Jackson Hastings because he's probably going to win Super League for you next season.
Well, I'm an ex-Salford player. I played two seasons at Salford, so I want Salford to win. But I think we're going to win.
Yeah, Salford haven't been there. They don't know what playoff footies feel like.
So I'm on a no loser here. Yeah. So basically, no matter what, I get the win. But look, just interestingly, we didn't mention it before. The game the night before, tomorrow night, Warrington Wolves versus Castleford, it's an elimination final.
Yes.
Whoever loses that game, they're out of the competition. That's it. They're on Mad Monday on Monday. They will play the loser of Wigan versus Salford. So Wigan and Salford have a life. Obviously, St. Helens finished top of the pile, have a game off this weekend. So, moving forward to Saturday, York Knights. This is the, well, it doesn't say whether or not.
Yeah, semi-final.
But that's elimination as well.
No, yeah, no. Whoever loses on Saturday is out.
Yeah, these are two semi-finals.
This is still the elimination top five system.
Whoever loses is
York,
out.
We're running out of time. Yeah. York City Knights,
they've had a good year. They've run out of steam. Fev, my boy, Chiz is on fire. Fev looking real good. So I see Fev winning that.
I think Featherstone, they've got all the momentum. That big win against Lee, I think they'll beat York. You know what? It's going to be a great occasion. Saturday afternoon at Bovham Crescent. They're already talking a record crowd, over 4,000 tickets sold. It's going to be a great spectacle. It's going to show everything what's great about the Championship.
It's going to be really exciting. Okay, the next day, Sunday, Toronto at home to Toulouse.
Toronto win.
Toronto to win?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So we didn't get a chance to talk about our League One, but it's going to be an absolutely amazing weekend. The Oldham versus Doncaster game is on the Our League app. Thank you very much, boys, for being in the show. Thank you very much for listening at home and playing your part on social media. We love you, and we'll be back this time next Wednesday night. See you later.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.